In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. I'm glad to be with you today. Today we're going to have a history lesson coming from the mouth of Stephen. I'm looking at the sixth chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. Now, during those days when disciples were increasing in number, why were they increasing? Because there were miracles, because the gospel was being proclaimed by the apostles and by other people. Oh, yes, the gospel was being proclaimed. Where is the gospel today? Do we hear it? We need to hear the gospel today. The disciples were increasing in number. The Hellenists, or the Greeks, complained against the Hebrews because the Hebrew widows were being, because the Greek widows were being neglected in the daily distribution of food. You see, they weren't perfect. Even now, after the Holy Spirit comes, they weren't perfect. They gave more to the Jewish widows than to the Greek widows. Oh, yes. And the 12 called together the whole community of disciples and said, "It is not right that we should neglect the word of God." In other words, we need to be preaching. We need to be preaching the word of God. And it is not right for us to neglect the word of God in order to wait on tables. Therefore, friends, select from among yourselves 7 men of good standing, full of the Holy Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may appoint to this task. What's the task? Waiting on tables. Oh, yes, the deacons were going to wait on tables, but not in your life, because when the apostles laid their hands on these 7 men and their Greek men, I tell you, the power of God came, and they went about doing miracles themselves. My question is, who waited on the tables? Have no idea. While we, for our part, will devote ourselves to prayer and serving the word, what they said pleased the whole community, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, together with Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenes, Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. They had these men stand before the apostles who prayed and laid their hands on them. Oh, yes, they laid their hands on them. And you know what happened? The glory of God came upon them. They're not going to be waiting on tables. They're going to be preaching. They're going to be doing miracles. Who will wait on tables? I don't know. The word of God continues to spread. The number of disciples increased greatly in Jerusalem, and great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. It's hard to get the priests obedient to the faith. Why? Because they were stuck. They were stuck. They did not see the fulfillment of the Old Testament was Jesus, but these priests became obedient to the faith. Stephen, full of grace and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. Stephen, I thought you're supposed to be waiting on table. You're doing great signs and wonders in the sight of the people. Oh, yes. When that apostolic power came upon them, they started to preach the word of God and started to do wonderful, mighty things in the name of Jesus. Then some of those who belonged to the synagogue of the freedmen, as it is called, Cyrenians, Alexandrians, and others of those from Cilicia and Asia, stood up and argued with Stephen. But they could not withstand the wisdom of the Spirit, with which he spoke. Then they secretly investigated some men to say, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God." They stirred up the people as well as the elders and the scribes when they suddenly confronted Stephen, seized him, and brought him before the council. They set up false witnesses who said, "This man never stopped saying things against this holy place and the law. For we heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and will change the customs of Moses." It's a lie. It's a lie. Change the custom of Moses that had been handed on to us. And all who sat in the council looked intently at Stephen, and they saw that his face was like the face of an angel. The glory of God was on him. The glory of God was being persecuted. The glory of God was on Stephen. Oh, how we need the glory of God to be on us, upon our faces, upon our bodies. You see, when the glory comes, anything can happen. Miracles happen quickly when the glory comes. And we need the glory of God in this generation, because this generation is far from God for the most part. Chapter 7. Then the high priest asked Stephen, "Are these things so?" And Stephen replied, "Brothers and fathers, listen to me. The God of glory appeared in our ancestor Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he lived in Haran, and said to him, 'Leave your country and your relatives and go to the land that I will show you.'" Ah, Abraham had to believe God, because he didn't tell him, "You're going to go to a certain place. I want you to move and go until I tell you to stop." This is faith. Same with us. We can't be telling God what to do. We can't be telling, we want God to tell us what to do. "Then he left the country of the Chaldeans and settled in Haran. After his father died, God had him move from there to this country in which you are now living." That's Israel. "He did not give him any of it as a heritage, not even a foot's length, but promised to give it to him as his possession and to his descendants after him, even though he had no child. And God spoke in the terms that his descendants would be resident aliens in a country belonging to all others." Abraham believed God that he was going to have a son. Oh, yes. He believed God. He had no son. He's old. His wife is old. There is no son. But God says, "Your descendants will live in the land of Israel." Oh, yes. "Who would enslave them and mistreat them during 400 years, the Egyptians? But I will judge the nation that they serve," said God. "And after that, they shall come out and worship me in this place." Then he gave him the covenant of circumcision. And so Abraham became the father of Isaac. He had his son and circumcised him on the eighth day. Isaac became the father of Jacob, and Jacob of the 12 tribes of Israel. Verse 9. The patriarchs were jealous of Joseph. They sold him into Egypt, but God was with Joseph. Oh, yes. God was with Joseph. Everything Joseph touched turned to gold. Why? Because God was with Joseph. God is with you today. God is with me today. by the grace of God. He is with us today. Do you know that today? Do you believe that today? You say, I don't feel it. I don't know what you feel, but I'm telling you what you know. God is with you today. God is with me today. I don't feel it either, but I know it. He has made a covenant with us, with the church, with you, and with me, and he is with us. The patriarchs, jealous of Joseph, sold him into Egypt, but God was with him and rescued him from all his afflictions and enabled him to win favor and to show wisdom when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt, who appointed him ruler over Egypt and over all his household. Everything that Joseph touched turned to gold. Why? Because God was with Joseph. Now there came a famine throughout Egypt and Canaan, and great sufferings, and our ancestors could find no food. But when Jacob heard that there was grain in Egypt, he sent our ancestors to visit them. On the second visit, looking for food, Joseph made himself known to his brothers, and Joseph's family became known to Pharaoh. Then Joseph sent and invited his father Jacob and all his relatives to come to him, 75 in all. So Jacob went down to Egypt. He himself died there, as well as our ancestors, and their bodies were brought back to Shechem and laid in the tomb that Abraham had bought for a sum of silver from the sons of Hamor in Shechem. But as the time drew near for the fulfillment of the promise that God had made to Abraham, our people in Egypt increased and multiplied with another king who did not know Joseph. He ruled over Egypt. He dealt craftily with the race and forced out ancestors and abandoned their infants so that they would die. At this time, Moses was born, and he was beautiful to behold before God. For 3 months he was brought up in his father's house, and when he was abandoned, Pharaoh's daughter adopted him and brought him up as her own son. Interesting, you know. He was given the key to the world, but he would not deny his heritage as a Jew. What about you? Will you deny your heritage as a Christian? Have you come to the Lord Jesus Christ and surrendered to him? Will you deny it if people say, are you a Catholic Christian? Are you a Christian? Well, you know, I don't want people to think. I don't care what you want people to think or not think. It is time for us to come out of the closet and let people know that we are descendants of Jesus Christ through faith and baptism, and we live out our baptism even now. So Moses was instructed in all wisdom of the Egyptians and was powerful in his word and deeds. When he was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his relatives, the Israelites. When he saw one of them being wronged, he defended the oppressed man and avenged him by striking down the Egyptian. He supposed that his kinsfolk would understand that God did through him in rescuing them, but they did not understand. The next day he came to some of them as they were quarreling and tried to reconcile them, saying, men, you are brothers. Why do you wrong each other? I tell you, this goes to you and to me. We are not to wrong people that are not Catholic. If they preach the gospel, we are to pray for them. Whenever we go to feed the poor, there's a group of evangelical Spanish people, and we pray for them that they would get the gospel out. Oh, yes, we're not to talk evil against each other. That's what the devil does, talks evil against each other. We are to do everything we can do together. What we can do, we can preach the word together. We can listen to the word together. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. We are to do all the things we can do and not throw down our brothers that are not Catholic. And the not Catholic brothers should not be throwing down the Catholics. That's what the devil wants people to be doing. Men, you are brothers. Why do you wrong each other? But the man who was wronging his neighbor pushed Moses aside, saying, "You, who made you a ruler and a judge over us? Do you want to kill me as you killed the Egyptian yesterday?" Moses couldn't get scared. When he heard this, Moses fled and became a resident alien in the land of Midian. There he became the father of two sons. Now when 40 years had passed, an angel appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai, the burning bush, in the flame of a burning bush. When Moses saw it, he was amazed at the sight. As he approached to look, there came the voice of the Lord, "I am the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." Oh, yes. Our faith started with Abraham. It went to Isaac, then to Jacob, then to the 12 tribes. Oh, yes, we have that same God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. We have that same God, and he made covenant with these people. Moses began to tremble and did not dare to look. When the Lord said to him, "Take off your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. I have surely seen the mistreatment of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their groaning." God hears your groaning today. He's going to come and help you. He hears your complaints today. He's going to come and help you. God knows what you're going through today. He hears you. Oh, yes. In the time of the judges, they sinned against God, and then they lost the war, and they started crying out to God. God hears the cry of the poor, and he sent another judge. "Egypt, and have heard their groaning, and I have come down to rescue them. Come now, I will send you to Egypt." It was this Moses whom they rejected when they said, "Who made you a ruler and a judge?" And whom God now sent as both ruler and liberator through the angel who appeared to him in the bush. He led them out, having performed wonders and signs in Egypt at the Red Sea and in the wilderness for 40 years. This is the Moses who said to the Israelites, "God will raise up a prophet for you." Who's that prophet? His name is Jesus. God will raise up a prophet, the Messiah, for you from your own people, as he raised me up. He is the one who was in the congregation in the wilderness with the angel who spoke to him at Mount Sinai, and with our ancestors he received living oracles to give to us. Our ancestors were unwilling to obey him. Instead, they pushed him aside, and in their hearts they turned back to Egypt. Yeah, they said, "We ate food in Egypt, onions and leeks and pomegranates," but they did not remember that they were the slaves of Pharaoh. They were building his buildings. They were dying if they didn't do it well. they turned back to Egypt, saying to Aaron, make gods for us who will lead the way for us. As for this Moses who led us out from the land of Egypt, we do not know what has happened to him. He's with God on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. At that time, they made a calf, offered a sacrifice to the idol, and reveled in the works of their hands. But God turned away from them and handed them over to the worship the host of heaven, as it is written in the book of the prophets. Did you offer me slain victims and sacrifices for 40 years in the wilderness, O house of Israel? No. No. You took along the tent of Moloch and the star of your god, Raphan, the images that you made to worship. I will remove you beyond Babylon. I want to tell you, Moloch, they offered their children to the false god Moloch. Let me tell you this, we offer our children to the god of convenience. I want to tell you the story that happened to me last week or 2 weeks ago in Maine. There was a seal that was in trouble, so we called the right people to help the seal. And all the people were all huddled around the seal. I felt bad for the little seal too. But then I started to feel sorry, and I started to feel sad. I said, people care about the seal, and they should. But today, at the abortion mill, who's there as they kill our children? Oh, yes, it was good to be with the seal. It's not good to see children die. We need to be at these abortuaries. We need to pray that children would be saved and spared. Only God knows what happens once people are out there. Many of them change their mind even before they get out. Our ancestors had the tent of testimony in the wilderness as God directed when he spoke to Moses, ordering him to make it according to the pattern he had seen. Our ancestors, in turn, brought in with Joshua when they dispossessed the nations that God drove out before our ancestors, and it was there until the time of David, who found favor with God and asked that he might find a dwelling place for the house of Jacob. But God said, don't do me any favors. I'm going to build you a house. I'm going to build you a house. You are not to build the house. We know Solomon, but it was Solomon who built the house for him. But all the raw materials were left by David. Yet the Most High goes not dwelling in houses made with human hands, as the prophet says, heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. What kind of house will you build me, says the Lord, or what is the place of my rest? What kind of house can you build me? I tell you, the house of God is in the believer. We are and contain within our hearts the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for our sins and rose from the dead, the Holy Spirit, and the Father. We are the temple of God. We hold within our hearts the very presence of the Trinity. Do you know that today? I don't feel it. I didn't ask you if you feel it, if you felt it. I'm asking you, do you believe it? I believe it. I believe it. Again, I'm not feeling it. I believe it. I am a temple of the Holy Spirit. Yes, greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Let me tell you one thing. God did not disappoint Abraham. He raised up people by generation to generation. We are the fulfillment of the faith of Abraham. We not only know God, but he has come to dwell in us by the Holy Spirit. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.